to Serial Serial, the AV Club's podcast about a podcast. Every week, a few onioning staffers will be talking about the most recent episode of Serial, one of the most popular and addictive podcasts on iTunes. This week on the Serial Serial, I'm AV Club Associate Editor Mara Eakin, joined as always by AV Club Editor-in-Chief Josh Modell. And this week, we're also hanging out with another Onion Inc. staffer, Rick Hammond, who, like everybody else in our office, is really into Serial, so we decided to bring him into this fold. First of all, we do this every episode. Rick, sort of tell us, you were saying, who do you think did it?
I am in the J camp. Oh. I firmly believe that he did it.
Why?
I just think that he's a shady character. I don't like his story at all. And I think that his timeline works better for murdering her than anybody else that I've seen thus far.
Like we do every week on the podcast, we're going to talk about the latest episode's quote-unquote bombshells. So this week we're talking about the legal stuff. There weren't as many big surprises, I thought, in this week's episode, but there are a couple to talk about. We did get to learn more about Christina Gutierrez, which is Adnan's attorney, and I thought one interesting realization was that she was going through some money troubles and some health problems. We never really learned until this week why that she, I mean, we knew she died shortly afterwards, but we didn't really know what the story was. And then this week, Sarah Koenig and another couple, I can't remember their names, really made it seem kind of shady.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. First of all, I think this was sort of a weird kind of placeholder wheels spinning episode a little bit when I feel like we all really kind of want to get to the meat. Not that I have a real problem with it. I think I'm like you guys, I'm probably just excited to get to whatever really happened. Though, you know, I think if what happens at the end of this is that he gets a new trial for having a bad lawyer, I guess this is interesting stuff. But to me, like that, the main things that happened this week don't feel like they are really getting to the heart of the case in a way that I wanted them to.
Do you think that they, I mean, this is purely speculative, but I imagine there has to be a ton of pressure on the Serial staff, on Sarah Koenig and the Serial staff to, what if they don't have an ending? I mean, we've talked about this before, but like when you're saying like, we want them to get to the meat of the case, it's like, well, they could have, we could have heard the meat of the case already. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, although I'll tell you exactly what I was hoping to hear this week and what I kind of thought we were going to hear based on the teases. And this speaks to Rick's, I want to say theories, but he's 100% sure. I want to hear the case against Jay. We got a lot of shit online, or I got a lot of shit for sort of saying, hey, I think it's Adnan last week. I think people ignored the fact that I think there probably wasn't enough evidence to put him away. I still sort of think he did it, which I think is partly due to the fact that we haven't heard a great case against Jay. And I had a couple of, you know, actually nice communications from people who are in the Jay Did It camp saying, hey, check this out on Reddit, and read a couple of really interesting things setting Jay up more as the potentially the guy who did it. So my guilt needle has moved a little bit away from Adnan. Rick, why are you so convinced that it was Jay and
well,
Jay alone?
I will admit that I was charmed by Adnan, as I think Sarah was from the very beginning, but I also feel that the
they do get
story...
married in episode 12. Did you know that?
Oh, you blew it for
Sorry.
Me.
Sorry to know.
I do think that his story is full of holes. I think that the lying really puts a light on him, and I think that he feels like he's overcompensating for having a lot more involvement than he's saying in anything that we've heard thus far. And so I really feel like he's a shady guy, and that I think that he's so deeply involved that he did it.
Yeah.
Well, not that Adnan has much of a motive, but what do you think Jay's motive was?
I think that's yet to be seen. I think that there has to be a story that's not being told and a connection between Jay and Adnan that we don't know yet. But I really feel like that particular dynamic needs to be looked at further.
I really started getting into the conspiracy theorist third person camp this week, where I was like, maybe there was someone we don't know. Because she's trying to, you know, in this week's podcast, we're talking about how she's trying to pin it on Mr. S and pin it on Don. And it's like, but what if it was someone else? Like, someone else we don't even know. That doesn't make much sense considering we've all heard the cell phone tower stuff and blah, blah, blah. But we also don't know where Hay was once she left school. Do you know what I mean?
That possibility is so remote to me that, and I think I said this last week too, like, there's no world in which it makes sense that it was someone completely different and that Jay then decided to pin it on Adnan, because then what's Jay's motivation? Jay could have gone to jail. I mean, we heard about he got this sweet plea deal. I mean, unless he's completely insane.
He was jealous that his girlfriend was friends with Adnan.
Yeah, but I don't see him, you know, and also the Mr. S thing I thought was interesting at trial. I thought that was that's a huge misstep on his lawyer's part, because it doesn't make common sense that it would be this other person, this guy who was a janitor who discovered the body with Jay's testimony. Then you would have to say that Jay is making this up for a reason other than that he actually was involved with the murder or did it himself and was trying to pin it on Adnan.
And there are even some theories out there that Jay and Mr. S have some kind of connection, but I don't believe any of that.
No,
I think that's completely off base.
It's crazy.
I mean, I guess one of the shockers, something that I thought was shocking this episode, is that Adnan still really likes Christina Gutierrez, when it seems like they've gone out of their way to make us all really dislike her. He's like, no, I have no problem with her.
And yet his appeal is based on the fact that he doesn't believe that she did a very good job, that she missed the Asia connection, and that she somehow missed a lot of these, you know, key points in his innocence. And yet he still defends her pretty vehemently at this.
Yeah, or that he asked her for a plea deal and then she didn't do anything with it, whether we believe this or
not. It's a pretty common thing to do in appeals, though. I feel like I've heard of a lot of cases, and I hope the lawyers out there can tell us, is that it's a good way, you know, not a good way, but it's a solid way to get a retrial or to get your case reopened, to blame, you know, your lawyer or your counsel for doing the wrong thing. It happened in the West Memphis 3 thing, which we'll talk about later when we talk about our new sponsor. But yeah, I mean, I feel like that's his only hope at this point to have his case opened again is to have someone actually believe that that's true, that he asked to hear a plea deal and that she didn't bring it up. And it sounds like that's honestly a pretty huge fuck up to if he indeed did ask for that and she didn't.
He could almost be out of jail by now if that was like.
Yeah, he made that
point.
It was interesting. Like, oh, there's guys that he was in lockup with that are getting out now, and he's not getting out because he's maintained his innocence so long.
I wonder, like, if people blame their lawyers a lot because we all have this image of lawyers that's a crazy Law and Order, John Grisham novel type image of lawyers, where you're gonna pay someone and they're gonna do this amazing job for you because you're paying them so much money, but you then pay them all this money and then they kind of are still human and they still mess things up and they still have things going on in their own lives. I wonder if that's why people, or it's just another way to get another appeal.
Yeah, I mean, what did you think, Rick, of the whole, all that money stuff and the idea that she was sick and not doing the right job?
Yeah, what I thought was really interesting was the notion of the two trials, that she did a really great job in the first trial. When they pulled the jury, they all, you know, all felt that he was innocent and it looked really good. And then there was this mistrial. And then in the second trial, she supposedly blew it. And I thought that there was just a really interesting dynamic there, that if this had gone differently, if she hadn't had that blow up in front of the stand, that he might be on the street right now.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but she asked for the mistrial at the first trial, right?
Yeah, because that juror was like, now that we've heard she's a liar, are you going to throw her off the case?
Yeah, she called for it because the jury was clearly against her at
and
that
ended
point.
Up shooting herself in the foot, if indeed that jury polling was true. But, I mean, you never know either.
Yeah.
They can make strong closing arguments. Although it only takes, you know, one person on a jury to either hang it or to lead to an acquittal, right?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we've got more to talk about. But first, as Josh mentioned, we now have a sponsor for this podcast. The Serial Serial is brought to you by Audible.com, which is offering you, our listeners, a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audible.com/AVClub, all one word, and you can choose from 150,000 titles and start listening on your phone or tablet or other gadget. That's audible.com/AVClub. Josh, do you have a book you'd recommend to people downloading, or maybe something true crime related, since we're talking about Serial?
Well, as a matter of fact, I do. actually, talking about Serial, as I said before, has reminded me a lot of another tale of trials and retrials and twisty-turny evidence, which is the West Memphis 3 case, which was, you know, very huge in the pop culture world because of all the kind of celebrities that got behind it. It's about three teens that were convicted in Arkansas of murdering three young boys, a crime that it became pretty clear that they didn't commit. It took 18 years to get them out of jail. And one of them, Damien Eccles, who's sort of the leader, kind of the smartest one, and the one who really got them convicted for because he, you know, quote unquote, looked like a devil worshiper. He wrote a book about his time in prison and his eventual release. The book is called Life After Death. And he actually reads the audiobook version himself, which you can find on Audible. You can get that free trial at audible.com/AVClub.
Thanks, Josh. What's that URL again?
We get it a couple times. Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of the West Memphis 3, totally not at all. But one of the other things that we talked about in this they talked about in this episode of the podcast was a little bit about race and about what Shanine Rahman, which is Adnan's mom, was a different last name. She believes her son was convicted because he's Muslim. Sarah Koenig understandably thinks that's a little crazy. Not crazy, but just like a little hyperbolic. But she does believe, and she makes a good case, that the issue of race obviously crept in the trial. The thing that struck me the most, I guess, and this is going to sound terrible, is how, I guess, uneducated I think people are, or people were in the jury, or maybe were just in 1999, about how she had to do in her opening statement. It was like, here's what a mosque is. Here's what it means to be Muslim. Here's what it means to be this. And I just felt like that had become such a big issue on the case was surprising to me. Also, the prosecutor, it drove me crazy that Vicky Walsh, the prosecutor, kept referring to him as a young Pakistan male. I don't know. It was just driving me crazy. So.
And the whole flight risk part when they were trying to have the bail discussion that, you know, he knew his uncle can get rid of people suddenly and he could be, you know, whisked away to Pakistan at a moment's notice because they had a room in a cave somewhere.
Yeah, that was a little misleading to me, I thought, because I understand that it was supposed to be sort of illustrative of what people maybe think about Muslims, but the jury is not in there. There's no jury selected yet at his bail hearing. So no one's being, you know, that's a judge, right?
You have to convince the judge.
Yeah, I don't think the judge is, maybe the judge is going to take that into consideration. It seems like judges are a little more no-nonsense. But I felt like there was a little bit of a disconnect there between the stuff that was about the bail hearing that was legitimate and then the stuff about the jurors. We'll never know. We will unfortunately never know. What is in the jurors' hearts? We don't know. Mm-hmm.
But there was the whole pride angle where they said that, you know, because he had this terrible breakup and that, you know, because he's a Muslim, that it was a pride issue and that he murdered her out of pride and honor rather than jealousy.
That whole horrible, like, document that the woman, like, that some doctor turned into the cops. It was, like, about Adnan Syed and being a young Islamic male.
Yeah.
That thing.
Horrible. Absolutely. You get no argument from me. Horrible. We can't say how prejudicial it was, but obviously.
Or if they used it, yeah.
And if she had been a better lawyer, that stuff may not have gotten in. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. My problem with it is I feel like it didn't necessarily have a lot of bearing on, like I was saying before, what I really wanted to hear, which supposedly came out at trial, is the case against Jay. You know, when you are a defense attorney in a murder case, as we heard a few episodes ago, it's kind of unofficially on you to not only provide reasonable doubt about your own client, but kind of to point the finger at somebody else in a smart way or in a convincing way. And it sounds like she did some of that, but we've heard so little about it. We heard a lot about his lies or his changing story, Jay's changing story about when Adnan said he was going to kill Hay. Like first it was, it was 5 days before January 13th. Oh, then it was on January 13th. Then it was the day before, which is super sketchy for Jay. I want to hear more of that. I want to hear this noon to six timeline, which is all stuff you can find online, but I'm actually waiting to hear it on the show.
But then also, I mean, that sort of speaks to her, like what people said was her kind of scattershot approach to the trial, where she was kind of just like, I just want to create reasonable doubt in general, not point the finger at someone else, just like it could have been anybody, which I think that, I mean, it probably could have seemed like a good theory at the time, but we know now is not a great theory. It would be better to pin it on someone else.
There was also the potential bombshell of the fact that Jay's lawyer was provided by the prosecutor, and that was something that Christina really jumped on, and I felt like that was an opening for us to really learn about Jay's story and have her really go after, you know, the ins and outs of whether he did it, and I just felt like that was just told in the story of what a bad lawyer Christina was.
That was crazy. I mean, it's pretty, that's like a Law and Order second half of the show plot twist where they're like, you can't provide a lawyer for your for the guy you're prosecuting.
Just goes to show how much power the judge has in a case like this, where it seems to anyone listening, I feel like that was a totally improper thing to happen. It was not necessarily illegal, but certainly fishy in some way. And the judge is like, okay, but no, sorry. Like, you think you have your bombshell. Maybe if she had been spending more time on the anti-J evidence rather than this procedural stuff, which isn't to say that like that should not have, resulted in another mistrial. Maybe things would have gone differently. I don't know. But we haven't yet. That's my frustration this week, is we have yet to hear what else she talked about with regard to Jay's timeline and his guilt. And I want to hear more of her questioning of Jay.
Josh, if you still believe that they did it together, maybe Jay accepted that lawyer and then like brought it up and then like admitted to it at trial so he could also get off and then Adnan could get off.
Seems really complicated.
That seems like a second half
like
law
some,
and order thing.
Yeah. Something that's like 18-year-olds would be really aware of, I'm sure.
I mean, if we're thinking, and we're, I'm sort of thinking anyway, that Sarah has tipped her hand early in this thing and that she believes Adnan. I think in a way, if she's telling a story, which she is, I mean, this is a story as much as it is journalism. It's sort of this weird hybrid, which is why I find it so interesting. And again, I'll say this, as I said last week, I like her. I like what she's doing. I like how this thing is unfolding, even with my frustrations. I think maybe she's saving this Jay story and this Jay timeline for a little later to say, like, to be condemning in a way.
She's saving it for episode 12, I guess, because we're on episode 10. And next week's about whether or not Adnan's a psychopath, I guess. And so it would have to be episode 12, like, boom, put the hammer down.
Yeah, maybe she is searching for an ending to this. And maybe that story is going to give us the closure that we all desperately need in this story.
But then also, like, you have to imagine, if she doesn't know for sure that he did it, does she want to put it out there like, I'm just saying, maybe, you know what I mean? Like, she's already laying it on pretty thick, but, like, she could really ruin that guy's life.
I mean, she can present the evidence and she can be as biased as she wants to be, which is why this whole thing is interesting and why this is sort of I don't want to say it's sort of a new form of journalism, but it's a kind of thing that certainly hasn't been done kind of for a while or at this length, where it feels like, it's like amateur detective hour. So she can say whatever she wants. You know, people are mad at her for not being a responsible journalist. She's never once come in and said, I am a responsible journalist doing this in a responsible That's journalism true. Way. She said, somebody emailed me and I started thinking more about this case. Although it was weird that it came out this week. She sort of just tossed off a line about how she wrote stories for the Baltimore paper.
Yeah, that was totally weird, like, about Christian Gutierrez.
Yeah, a little more disclosure on that earlier would have been nice, maybe. Maybe the conspiracy theorists are right.
I guess I'll say this. She's not going to ruin anybody's life. It's going to be the internet that's going to ruin someone else. It's going to be Reddit, or it's going to be, like, we all know that guy's, we all know Jay's last name, we all know his Facebook page, da 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 da. Like, we're the ones that are going to get out of, we, not us, you know, in this room, but.
I mean, genie's out of the bottle on that one. Like, whether he, if indeed he murdered her without any help from Adnan, the likelihood of Adnan getting out and then Jay getting arrested and tried and convicted at this point, 15 years later, seems
very
really,
thin.
Really, really thin.
But I need that. I need that to happen.
Sorry, man.
I think I'm going to be disappointed.
This is where you learn that the American justice system does not work. It just doesn't work.
We're all going to take pleas. That's the moral of that story. Any last thoughts, guys? Anything else you want to hear? Anything else? Josh, you've said what you want to hear in the future.
Yeah, right. As a person in the Jay Did It camp, I'm really interested in that story, and I hope we get to it really fast, because I think he did it, and I really feel like that's a story that needs to be told, and the sooner we know about it, the sooner I'll be happy.
Yeah, I've been waiting for it the whole time, because to me, the only, I know I sort of came out strongly anti-Adnan last week, but I'll come out even more strongly with these are the only possible scenarios. Adnan did it, and Jay is telling the whole truth. Adnan did it and Jay is telling part of the truth and was more involved, or Jay did it and he's framing Adnan. Anything else to me is kind of silly at this point.
But But what if it was Mr. S?
It had to be. Kidding. It had to be Mr. S.
With his 16-ounce beer that he drank in like 5 minutes.
And his nudity.
Yeah, he was just ashamed because he was a streaker. I wish I could find this. You know what? Let's link it in the text piece of this. There's a particular Reddit thread that is the Jay absolutely did it story that I thought was very smart and very compelling and very well reasoned. I'm not saying like I did it, but it or I believe that. It 100%, but to me it was it pushed me off my strong opinion a little bit, at least from last week, because there was stuff in there that has not been on the podcast absolutely, or if it is, yeah. I haven't put it together in the way this person did.
I thought they worked together too, kind of not as much as you did, but kind of mildly. I was leaning that way, and then I read this thing that a lawyer or a legal journalist put together this week. I'll link it as well in the story. Just about the cell tower and who was in what cell tower. And if you really I hadn't really read it all laid out.
Yeah.
And it was sort of easier for me to understand once I sort of read it all laid out. And that really made it lean towards Jay had done it, assuming that Adnan is telling the truth, which I don't know.
Well, I guess we'll learn more next week here on the Serial. Hey, brought to you by audible.com. And if you go to audible.com/AV Club, you get a free trial and you get a free audiobook read by Rick Hammond, our guest this week. Any book, he will record the entire thing for you and email you a file.
He's like a spare 80 to 100 hours coming up. And if you like our show, tell your friends and review us on iTunes, and we'll really appreciate that. And we'll be back next week, as Josh said, like Sarah Koenig, to figure out whether or not Adnan is a total psychopath. So start thinking about that now. Thanks, guys. Bye.